Today, what I want to do is I want to talk about Jesus and why would you want to follow Jesus? And as I was sitting down and thinking, all right, Lord, like, why should we follow Jesus? I was like, wow, this is going to be near impossible in a short amount of time, because I just started thinking of all the people in the Gospels that encountered Jesus. And I hope when you read the Gospels at home, you see these things. I told you that I grew up going to church, and I had some fantastic Sunday school teachers. I'll always remember Mr. Peterson. He was our second grade Sunday school teacher, and there were two things about Mr. Peterson that I remember. One, on his left hand, he only had three fingers, and then on his right arm, he had a tattoo of a lady who was dancing on an anchor. And I remember... And he tried to keep it rolled up, and then one day, like, it slid up, and a kid was like, "What's on your arm, Mr. Peterson?" And like a fantastic teacher, he was like, "You want to see, boys?" I'm like, "Yes, we do." And he rolled it up, and we were stunned, because it was like the closest thing we'd ever seen to like a lady at that time in our lives. And we were trying to figure out what that had to do with an anchor. And this is what he said to us, and he had a deep, gravelly voice. He said, "Boys, don't ever join the Navy." We were like, all right, I'm not going to ever join the Navy. And then, of course, there was one guy who was like, why? And then he was like, because this is what happens when you join the Navy. So we were like, okay. And then he rolled his shirt back down. And then some other kid goes, why do you only have three fingers? And he goes, boys, don't ever hit firecrackers with a hammer. So Mr. Peterson, I ran into him like 5 or 6 years ago, and I was like, wow, I need to thank the Lord for you. And then he was like, all right, now onto the Ten Commandments. And so he taught us the Ten Commandments. So I don't know if you were blessed with people that just love Jesus, and they're like, the kids here need to know Jesus. So your Sunday school teachers, God bless them, are going to get many more jewels in their crown someday. One of the things growing up is I just remember, I swear there was a meeting somewhere where, like, when they set the Sunday school curriculum for all church at all time, and they got around a table and they said, all right, everybody, we're going to teach Jesus to the kids ideas. And someone goes, are there kids in the Bible? And they're like, yeah, there are. Let's go to those two passages. And then they got together on like week three and they were like, what do we do now? And someone goes, are there animals in the Bible? And they're like, let's go to those. And they made it through like 6 weeks. And then they're like, let's go back to the top. And so like my whole life growing up in Sunday school, it was like, well, where does Jesus interact with kids? And then where are there animals in the Bible? And there's a lot to learn from those passages. But I felt as if then when I got older and I started reading the Bible and I would see Jesus interacting with adults, it was like, whoa. Jesus is way more than I ever thought as a kid. So I want to give you two pictures today in our short little time here of what happens when people encounter Jesus and what that does for them and what does that say to us about why we would even want to follow him. And I want to start with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. And fantastic. So you know the story. I always wondered about all those songs. Did you guys go to the Sunday school where like you would come in and everybody was rowdy and there was a lady who loved Jesus and kids, probably more Jesus than kids, and she would be setting up the cups of milk and the cookies, and it was everyone would come in and you're talking to your friends and then she'd be like, hey, everybody sit down. Sit down! Right? And then you would sing what song? The Alleluia, 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 Alleluia song, right? Where this side does it, and then this side would stand up and yell, praise ye the Lord, as loud as you could. Did you guys ever do that one? Wow, it took me years before I realized, like, this was actually a different language. Alleluia, it's not English. It's Hebrew. And if you translate it, it means praise ye the Lord. So really they were just teaching us what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians. If you're going to speak in tongues, you need a translator there on site. That's in the Bible. You can look it up later. So you know the song about Zacchaeus, and he's a wee little man. So I'll tell you as fast as I can the true story. Jesus at this point in his ministry is like rock star status. So he'll just like walk into a town and everybody flocks to him. Interesting, if you ever want to try this with your friends and you're out in public, pick one friend, put him in the center, everyone else circle around him and take your phones out and then just like walk around him like this with your phones and talk really loud. And then all everyone else will think, who's that? They're really important. Who's that? And they'll take their phones out and take pictures of your friend. You can try that sometime. So Jesus has reached that point. There weren't iPhones yet, incidentally. And he's going through town and people are mobbing him. And Zacchaeus wants to see this guy. So the Bible tells us that he's a man of short stature. Can I get an amen from those of us that are short-statured? Okay, thank you, right? So he climbs this tree, and Jesus stops his little mini parade, And he's like, Zacchaeus, get out of the tree because I'm coming to dinner at your house. I was like, whoa, Jesus is bold. Like, he just invites himself over to dinner. It's like, I was told, like, as a kid, like, you can't do stuff like that. Incidentally, Jesus does this stuff all the time. In my class, we were talking about when Jesus teaches you to turn the other cheek and what's really going on in there. So I don't know. Jesus wasn't really like, hey, if they get a good licking on you, like, have them smack you the other way. What Jesus is doing is he's saying, look, in that culture, when you're struck with the, oh boy, I'm going to botch this, get it backwards. Yeah, so he says, if someone strikes you on your right cheek, and if you get this, someone's facing you, it would be a backhanded hit, which is what you did when you disrespected somebody. But if the person you wanted to insult you thought as your equal, you would slap them this way. And so Jesus's point is, if somebody smacks you, you say to them, you're going to treat me like a man, and then you have them smack you the other way. And this kid in my class goes, oh, Jesus was a gangster. I was like, oh, there's more. And then we talked about what go the extra mile means. I don't know, like, your coaches are probably always saying silly stuff like that. Go the extra mile. Go 110%. You always want to be like, coach, at 100, there's literally no more. I don't know why I'm going to tap into that extra 10%, coach, but you're going to do it. Yes, I am. So the go the extra mile part is the Roman centurions could walk up to any Jew and just throw their bags down and say, carry this for a mile. And Jesus's point is, you pick it up and you say, I'm going 2. And that's where the kid was like, oh, Jesus, you'll play with Jesus. And so I love that reaction, because that's what Jesus meant by stuff like that. So here Jesus is just being bold, like, I'm coming to dinner at your house, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is like, yeah. So he goes to his house and he throws this party. And if you know the true story, the Bible says Zacchaeus was rich. He was a tax collector. If you know anything about tax collectors, they got rich because they would come on behalf of the government and knock on your door and say, you owe the government money. And what tax collectors would do is they would tell you this number way over the number that they were supposed to, and you couldn't do anything about it. So he would give his money to the government, he put the rest in his pocket. And so he's just having dinner. And the Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus, like, preaching or being like, hey, Zacchaeus, I wanted to talk to you about all this money you have. And right in the middle of his party, Zacchaeus stands up and he goes, Jesus, I just want to let you know that today I'm giving half of my money to the poor. And if I've wronged anyone, I'm paying them back 4 times what I took from them. So first thought was, Zacchaeus was balling, as my kids would say. Like, he just gave away half. And then he took the next half, and he's like, and if I've wronged you, I will quadruple what I took from you. So here's an immense amount of money. And he's just hanging out with Jesus, and he's like, stuff's got to change. And so he's kind of like me, where he'll just do stuff and say things and then think about it after the words are out of his mouth. Anyone else have that disease? Okay. I feel you. Thank you. So here's Zacchaeus. And the thing about Zacchaeus is when he encounters Jesus, it just radically alters his life. Then I want to talk about these herdsmen. And I don't know if you're familiar with this one. They didn't tell me this story. This is the one about the pigs. Anyone know the true story about the pigs? Yeah, this is great. So Jesus, the text picks up in Mark 5 that Jesus gets off a boat. And we don't have time to tell you about what he was doing on the boat, but it was wild and crazy. And he steps off the boat, and as he steps onto the shore, the Bible says that these demoniacs, which are two men possessed by demons, come running up to him as he gets on the shore, and they're like, whoa, Jesus, it's not time. Which is really weird, right? Not like, Jesus, we hate you, we work for the Lord of darkness. Like, nothing. It's like, Jesus, it's not time yet. Which is wild to think that wherever Jesus went, even the demons were like, oh, Jesus is here. And then the point the guy was making was the demons knew Jesus has the right to just end them, and it's coming. And they're like, it's not your turf, it's not your time, you can't do this yet, Jesus. And Jesus is like, well, yeah, you know, it's true. Tell me your name. And the guy goes, Legion, which is like fancy word for tens of thousands. I don't know if you look that up. Which, incidentally, when Peter is lopping off an ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is like, Peter, chill. If I wanted to, I could call down legions, plural, of angels. And whenever you meet one angel, does anyone know in the Bible, when people meet a angel in the Bible, what happens? They fall on their face screaming, like, don't kill me. Like, one angel does that. And Jesus is like, if I wanted to, tens of thousands of these angelic warriors. And you can just imagine they're in heaven like, say the word, Jesus, we're coming. So this word legion, 10,000. So these guys that have just been tortured by these thousands of demons, the demons are like, no, Jesus. And so then Jesus just says, all right, well, it's not time, but you got to leave this guy. And they're like, send us into the pigs. So he sends them into the pigs, and this herd of swine run off of the hill and drown themselves. And word gets out through the herdsmen run off into town telling everybody about this crazy Jesus guy that just drowned our pigs. And everybody shows up, and they see these demoniacs, and they're normal again. And then they're like, where are the pigs? And then they tell Jesus, you got to go. And they kick him out. Which is wild, right? Because they all know that what they had done with these demoniacs is they had chained them to the rocks because they couldn't be in town anymore. So they've chained these guys up to rocks for the good of the people, and they come out, and they're like, oh, hey, you guys are normal again. What did you do to the pigs, Jesus? Now, the interesting thing about these pigs is this town had this god who he had a pig fetish. Not a bacon fetish, because that's totally normal. But he had a pig fetish. And apparently this god would even, like, he had pigs, like some of us have dogs, and he would take his pigs everywhere. He would take them to his parties. He'd take them into town or whatever. And so he loved him some pigs. And so if you wanted to get on this guy's, like, good side, you would raise pigs and then kill the pigs to that guy. So it's interesting. So what Jesus was doing was not just healing this demoniac, but then he got rid of their pigs. As if to say, because first the demon was like, this is our turf. And Jesus is like, no, this is my turf. And then he wanted to send a message to the people that this was his turf. And you don't need your fake god anymore. So the interesting thing to me when I look at Zacchaeus and when I look at these herdsmen is that both these groups of people were like right in Jesus' presence. And it had this overwhelming response to it. But it's interesting because in Zacchaeus' case, it made him want to get closer to Jesus. He was just like, stuff's got to happen and it's got to change in my life. Because just being around Jesus, he realized, I have been all about money. And then when he got around these people that were all about the pig, they were like, I'm all about these pigs and this God and I don't like this power. And they told Jesus that you got to get. So that was the component, I guess, growing up that I didn't see a lot or wasn't taught a lot, is that Jesus is absolutely this Jesus of like, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and God has loved the world that whoever will believe. But sometimes Jesus was just overwhelming and too much for people. And they said, you got to get away from me, Jesus. So that's the idea that I want to kind of take today. When we get back together tonight, we're going to talk more about some of the people that got overwhelmed. But then they said, but Jesus, I want more of you and I want to follow with you. What I want to close with here, I want to close with a refrain that, incidentally, came from a song that Will and his group are singing that just acknowledges Jesus is just something entirely different than we've ever encountered. Jesus, the word the Bible uses is holy. There's nothing that we can say, well, Jesus is like this, and it works perfectly. So I want to use this refrain to kind of end each of our sessions, and we're going to play around with it from time to time. I'll sing it through once. It's really short. It has two lines. And then if you'll join me on the second time. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. Join me on the top of that. There's no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you. There is no one like you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful again for this morning. A chance to wake up and be glad that you've made this day. And Jesus, as we encounter you in the Gospels and in your created world, may we understand today that you are something altogether different. And we pray for the grace that Zacchaeus found, that we might just respond with, Jesus, stuff's got to change. I want more of you. And may you protect us from whatever was holding back the herdsmen and the townspeople. And we ask for that grace in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Christian. All right, you guys. Well, we are going to head back to your cabins for some cabin discussion time, just to talk about some of the things that Christian's been talking about last night and this morning. So feel free to ask your counselors questions and talk about that stuff. And then at 10:30 will be your first class. And one more reminder, remember that we are starting two rovers today, so be checking your pockets and your hoods. All right, you guys are dismissed. Back to your cabins.